Support for this public radio podcast comes from KeyBank, focused knowledge, customized solutions, and the resources of an entire bank. Because the best solutions fit around a business's needs. More at key.com/corporate. And by BNY Mellon Wealth Management. Since 1784, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize wealth. Information at BNYMellonWealthManagement.com.
Up, up, and away.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. The stock market vaulted to record highs yesterday, but why, when there's so many reasons it shouldn't have? Bad mortgages and a crummy housing market, a weak dollar and the threat of higher inflation, and increasing odds of a recession. Go figure. Maybe the worst of the credit crunch is over. Who knows? But there's an old adage on Wall Street, don't fight the Fed. If a cut in interest rates is in store again this month as insurance against financial stress, know that stocks will benefit and don't stand in their way. We had the Dow rallying 191 to close at a record high 14,087. The average is up 10% in just 6 weeks. The S&P was up 20, the NASDAQ higher by 39 points, and stock markets around the world have followed suit. Today here in the U.S., automakers will report September sales. The foreign minister of Myanmar had harsh words at the U.N. last night for critics of his country's internal politics, and he said the use of economic sanctions against his country is counterproductive. Sanctions were put in place by the U.S., and now the Bush administration is grappling with the potential unintended consequences. More from John Dinsdale.
In response to human rights abuses, the U.S. imposed economic sanctions on the Myanmar regime in 2003. However, Chevron's longtime 28% stake in an oil project there was given a grandfather exemption. Profits from the multinational oil project are a major source of revenue for the military junta. With the military's recent deadly crackdown on dissent, the White House is considering forcing Chevron to cut its ties to Myanmar. The president of the National Foreign Trade Council, William Reinsch, says that would not be a good idea.
If we act by ourselves, all that's going to happen is that Chevron will be replaced by somebody else. It'll keep operating, and the generals will continue to get the revenue.
Reinsch says the UN should act multilaterally against Myanmar, so no other foreign company can take over the oil field. But countries including China and India also have oil or natural gas operations in Myanmar and are resisting UN sanctions. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
The Financial Times of London is making more of its online articles available for free. This could be a preemptive strike against Rupert Murdoch and the Wall Street Journal. From London, Stephen Beard has that story.
From the middle of this month, visitors to the FT's website will be able to see up to 30 articles a month for free. That's quite a change. Until now, the paper has charged up to $400 a year for accessing most of the content. Murdoch is the likeliest reason for the move. Rumour has it the tycoon is planning to make the Wall Street Journal's website free. The New York Times scrapped its subscription fees last month. Ed Dorrell, news editor of New Media Age, says this reflects the growing importance of online advertising.
Advertising on newspaper websites is extremely healthy, and that's where the cash comes from. No longer can the subscription model be considered particularly valid.
The Financial Times, however, says it won't get rid of its subscription fees altogether. It believes the existing 100,000 subscribers will continue to pay for full access. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Imagine you're Yahoo and you're trying to gain ground on Google. What's your strategy? You don't throw in the towel. You announce the biggest upgrade ever to the Yahoo search engine. Thing is, most of these new features are similar to improvements Google and Ask.com introduced in the spring, and the ones Microsoft matched just last week. Yahoo says its eye is on being number one in search. They'll chip away. This was the first step.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by A.G. Edwards, caring for nest eggs for more than 120 years, with a commitment to provide objective financial advice. By Duke University's Fuqua School of Business Executive MBA programs, where working professionals earn Duke MBAs from locations around the world. Online at DukeExecutiveMBA.com. And by BNY Mellon Wealth Management, Since 1784, helping successful individuals and families protect and maximize wealth. BNYMellonWealthManagement.com.
Maybe you got your first lessons in the properties of money from a piggy bank when you were a kid. And by the time you were a teenager, you had the whole credit-debit thing down pat. But these days, many teens and 20-somethings haven't a clue. The problem is so bad, the Fed Bank of New York is working on a remedy. Jamie Bedrin reports.
No one ever said that learning to balance a checkbook was easy. But kids today are so financially illiterate, experts say many of them can't even make change. Neil Godfrey is the New York Times best-selling author of Money Doesn't Grow on Trees, a guide for parents on kids and money. She says this year, 180,000 young adults between the ages of 18 and 24 will declare bankruptcy. One of the reasons for this, she says, is that kids aren't taught about money's consequences.
The next generation has to feel comfortable with money. And what's interesting is a lot of people get intimidated by it. And the more kids learn when they're little, when you start learning about the market, when you start learning about investing and saving, you go, that's it? That's all there was?
Parents and teachers looking to fill this gap in financial education could pick up a book or a DVD, or they could go to the source, the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. The Fed is doing its best to appeal to young people. It's running gold vault tours that show billions of dollars of the shiny stuff. It's even got a line of comic books. Lloyd Bromberg is the bank's director of education services.
And the idea of coming up with a comic is a way that it seems to capture the attention both of educators and students, because it's different than anything they usually get to see in school.
The comic books cover everything, from savings to foreign trade. Last year, the Fed shipped out 850,000 of them around the country.
We feel if we can get to students through these comics, we might be doing a service to them as well as society.
The comics are popular, but they're old school, more Archie, Betty, and Veronica than Halo or High School Musical. There's talk the bank might discontinue them, but Bromberg says he wants them to be more student and teacher friendly. That could mean adapting the series to deal with web banking or e-commerce to make the comics more relevant to modern kids. They have to stay current if they're to meet the Fed's aim of introducing kids to money matters early and helping them make wise choices with their own savings. In New York, I'm Jamie Bedrin for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. Thanks for listening. Make it a good day.
American Public Media.